You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk with an Eau Claire native who's biking across the country this summer to help raise awareness and money for Syrian refugees. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. The two-week manhunt for a Wisconsin fugitive came to an end early this morning. We'll find out about that. And Wisconsin is changing up its license plates. Robert Mentzer joins us now. He's a storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin with us every Friday to look at the big Wisconsin news of the week. Rob, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
Well, Rob, let's talk about the big news. Just heard a bit of it there about the capture of Jakubowski. What do we know about how he was apprehended?
So, you know, of course, this just happened this morning, so some of the details are just coming out, but it's a fascinating story. So, I think the top of the hour news had the sort of basic facts, right? This guy who stole a bunch of guns and sent a deranged manifesto to the president and made threats of violence was the subject of a massive manhunt and was caught early this morning, is arrested. A TV station that has an affiliate out in western Wisconsin in that area has an interview with the property owner, Jeffrey Gorn, who found Jakubowski camping on his land there in Vernon County. And the guy was driving his four-wheeler on his property late last night, and saw the campsite that Jakubowski had set up. There was a blue tarp that caught his eye, and he drove over and try to talk to the guy. He is a retired school counselor and ended up speaking with Jakubowski for about an hour without knowing who he was talking to. He tells this TV station, and he said it sounds like it was not a great conversation. He's quoted saying, in my background, you try to find some of the things that are positive in someone's life. He's one of the first people I have run into that there was just nothing I could find, at least in the onset, that made him positive. So it didn't go great. Anyway, he called the guy wouldn't leave his property. So he called the local police, and they took him into custody this morning.
Interesting. And what do we hear from the Rock County Sheriff's Office as this manhunt progressed?
So this was taken very seriously. I think rightly so. This guy gave indications that he was going to, you know, he was sort of in a mood to do something crazy. And I think it's, we have to count this as a positive. I think we can breathe a bit of a sigh of relief that no one ended up dead in this, at the end of this. It was very easy to imagine this ending in some form of violence, either from Jakubowski or otherwise. They will continue looking for, trying to track down and account for every one of the weapons that was stolen. Certainly there's still a question about what were other people involved? Was he acting on his own? He had somebody sort of taking a video of him before the initial burglary. So there are a lot of questions, and of course, this guy is going to face charges. But the sort of acute phase of the manhunt is over, and so that's the big news today.
And Governor Walker had tweeted that he was proud of law enforcement in Wisconsin, county, municipal, federal. Do we know what kind of coordination there was for this effort?
It was all hands on deck, right? I think it was hard to know. You could sort of guess how long it would take him to travel a certain distance, right? But no one knows exactly how he was getting around, or whether he was working with others, or what his plans were. So essentially everyone within a pretty wide radius needed to be on alert. You can travel a long distance in a couple weeks. More than 150 agencies were hunting for him. We had, from in my part of the world in central Wisconsin, there was a report someone had reported that in Juneau County he had been spotted, and so they had to sort of go on alert in Juneau County and take additional precautions with schools there. It turned out not to be the case, but I mean, so, you know, somebody in good faith had reported that they thought that they saw somebody who might have matched his description. That's the one that I happened to hear about, that we happened to report about at one of the newspapers I work with. But I have to assume that people are having similar experiences all over the state, because you sort of think, like, wait, could that be the guy?
And now we know. Well, Robert Menser is with us right now, storytelling editor for USA Today Network, Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And Robert, on Tuesday, more than 100 headlining acts for Milwaukee Summerfest were announced. It's a huge music festival. I guess it's the biggest in the country, it's billed as. Can you give us the highlights?
Summerfest is huge. People love it. Yeah, the biggest in the country. And this is the 50th year. This was bound to be a big one. The sort of biggest act, what will close out the festival, is sort of a bit of a festival within a festival. The Outlaw Music Festival on July 9th will feature Willie Nelson, Nobel laureate Bob Dylan, Sheryl Crow, and Jason Isbell, formerly of the Drive-By Truckers, and some others. So it's sort of a big, massive concert just on that night, and that's sort of the just the headlining acts of this huge festival.
Yeah, there's a ton. I read through them. Are you interested or invested in any of the particular acts, Robert?
Well, so this is, for sure, this is like the type of festival that you would have to work not to find something that you would like. I mean, like, I'm not going to go to the Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan show. I'll just reveal that to listeners. But if as you get down below some of the, like, big amphitheater acts, it becomes more musically diverse. You know, Ziggy Marley is playing, the rap group Atmosphere. There are indie rock acts, Tegan and Sarah. So for sure, I mean, on the full bill, like, you will find something that appeals to you. It's a big festival, and there's a lot of, you know, whether you're into sort of massive arena shows or smaller club shows, there's a lot to do. There's a lot that goes on.
And nostalgia shows. I noticed that Hanson and Moody Blues and Slaughter are going to be there, just to name a few. So yeah, there really is something for everyone. Robert, you know what kind of impact Summerfest has on the state's tourism business?
So it is big. It is big business, and it is, I mean, for one thing, just a sort of headline, you know, claim, the nation's largest music festival is significant. There was a 2013 study that estimated the festival brings in $226 million for Wisconsin, about $187 million for Milwaukee specifically. You know, we should look at these estimates with, you should have a little bit of skepticism. It's hard to isolate exactly what spending wouldn't have happened without Summerfest. And, you know, presumably some people in Milwaukee stay home during Summerfest when they would have gone out, because there's, you know, they don't want to fight the traffic or whatever. So it's, even if it's a little iffy, still I think that gives you a sense of the overall impact. And it is significant. People visit from out of state. People go to see these bands. They pay for hotels and they eat at restaurants and so on. So yeah, no, I think it's a big deal.
And Rob, as we finish recapping the biggest state news, there's a big announcement from the Wisconsin State Department of Motor Vehicles. They're going to change the number of characters in Wisconsin's license plates. It has been 6, and it's going to get a bump up. What's the deal?
We have used up all the license plate numbers. Think about this. There are 20 million different combinations of the three-letter license plate combination that is on my car and perhaps yours. And Wisconsinites have run through all 20 million of them since this configuration debuted in 1986. So they're going to go up to 7 character plates. It'll be 3 letters and then 4 numbers, which they say gets us another 100 million plates, which seems like it should last us. I don't know if there are math savants going through the number of permutations, but I learned this from the Wisconsin State Journal story about this. License plates do not use I, O, or Q because those would be easily mistaken for numbers on the plate. So take that into account when you're counting up those 100 million different license plates.
Wow. So my question was, if you have a vanity license plate or a personalized license plate, can you use all letters? I could almost get to Veronica. I can get to Veronique or Veron 1.
You can for sure. You just got to use the 0, use the 1 instead of the, you know, the O or the I.
Right. And we could do Packers and Badgers now, right? P-A-C-K-E-R-S, Badger. Yeah.
There are one of my favorite pieces of journalism. A couple years ago, somebody pulled together a list of all the banned vanity plates, things that people applied for in Wisconsin and were not allowed because they were dirty or mean or something. there was a lot of sucks as S-U-X. That was very popular in the among the banned license plates.
Oh, so, man.
There's still some places that we cannot go, is what I'm saying.
Interesting. Well, new options, though. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Robert Menzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And he's with us every Friday to round up the top news of the past week.